Absolutely. My name's Owen. I'm an alcoholic. Get this gum out of my mouth. So my sobriety date is April 16th, 2015. So I have a little over 4 months of sobriety. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just kind of looking to give a newcomer's sort of a perspective on sponsorship. I've been in this program for about 5.5 years. I've had certain lengths of sobriety at times, but for whatever reason, I couldn't commit to what was necessary to stay sober in this program. You know, I couldn't quite build that foundation. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I grew up in Phoenix. I was born and raised in Sunny Slope. Went to Sunny Slope Elementary, Sunny Slope High School. My drinking started when I was about 15 years old, you know. I was just drinking on the weekends, partying, hanging out with friends. And I identify with that feeling of not feeling comfortable in my own skin, you know. Just drinking to kind of fit in and loosen up and feel better, feel more comfortable around people. That kind of like social lubricant that you hear people talk about. That was me. That was how my drinking started, you know. And it progressed really quick. Drugs really aren't a part of my story, you know. Jail, prison isn't a part of my story. Homelessness isn't a part of my story, you know. I fell in love with alcohol. Alcohol was my master, absolutely. You know, I hit my bottom drinking. And, you know, I feel like I suffer from a spiritual malady that is as much a part of me as the color of my eyes, right? It was something I was born with. I was restless, irritable, and discontented as a child. You know, I can remember being a kid and just feeling uncomfortable in every situation. I really did, you know. If you ask somebody else, they'd be like, yeah, Owen's great. He's got a lot of friends. He's a really nice kid. He's got a good sense of humor. I never felt that way inside, you know. I was always reaching out for attention, picked on my younger brother a lot. It was something I had to make an amends for. And, you know, my drinking just took on great proportions as I got older. And it landed me at Crossroads East when I was 25 years old. You know, basically a men's halfway house. It's considered a treatment center now. But that was my first go-round with Alcoholics Anonymous. I lived there for like 5 months, graduated the program, and I stayed sober for about a little over 2 years after that, you know. In that 2 years, I was not willing to sponsor, right? I had a lot of fear built up around the idea of sponsoring another man. You know, I don't know if anybody in this room can relate to that, but I didn't feel like I could transmit what I had, you know? I felt like what I had inside wasn't solid, you know? When I prayed, God told me otherwise, you know? But I just couldn't find it in my heart to sponsor. And I went back out, you know. I went back out for a short time, and I remember coming back into the program after like 10 days or something, picking up a newcomer's chip, and I reconnected with my same sponsor, you know. And he was like, we're going to try things different this time, you know. Your level of willingness has to be greater, you know what I mean? You have to attack this program with the same tenacity in which you attacked alcohol, you know. And he's like, sponsorship is where we're going to start, you know. So like, I got through the 12 steps, and I remember I was chairing a meeting at a halfway house, and after the meeting, this guy came up to me, and he was like, you know, I'm sure you're really busy, but like, are you sponsoring guys? Like, is that something you're interested in doing? And I was like, absolutely, you know, like, I'm always willing to sponsor. I had never sponsored anybody in my life, you know? And I gave him my number, and I remember driving home that night, and I called my sponsor, and I was just like, I was really happy, and I was really nervous, and I was really anxious, because I was gonna take somebody through these steps, you know? And I had asked my sponsor a million questions, and, you know, I remember I would sit down and like, I just dropped my gum into my water, awesome. I would sit down and like go through the book ahead of time, you know. I would read and I would highlight stuff, and to just kind of make sure I was prepared before I went and sat down with this man, you know. And I got such a kick out of it. I absolutely loved it. You know, like watching this man like come to life, you know, and slowly start feeling better and slowly start connecting to God. And it changed me, you know, like it spiritually, it changed who I was. You know, that experience was the best thing that I had experienced to that date, you know. He got through his steps and, you know, slowly like stopped doing the work like I had done. He wasn't interested in sponsoring other guys, even though I really like pushed him to. And he ended up relapsing, you know, and I remember he would call me on the phone like hammered, you know, like all the time. And I always encouraged him to get back to meetings. And I was out with a group of people in AA, and we were at this bowling alley, you know, and I remember he called me, it was like 9 o'clock at night, and I went and sat at this table and I was talking to him and he was drunk, and he's like, "Oh, and I just want to thank you for sponsoring me, you know, like you've always picked up the phone every time I've called you, you know, like you tried your best to like get me through these steps and I learned a lot from you and I grew." He's like, "Sobriety just isn't in my heart right now, you know, I don't have what it takes to stay honest and I like drinking." You know, and his name was Andrew. I was like, "Andrew, I love you, man. You know, like I'm always gonna be here. Just call me whenever you need me." And my buddy called me from Phoenix like a week later and told me that Andrew had died. You know, like his liver gave out. He ended up in the hospital and he died from drinking. You know what I mean? And that was like my first experience with sponsorship. Like it fucking broke my heart. You know, I loved that guy. You know, and. Like, relapse is a part of my story, you know? Like, it takes what it takes to stay sober. And I've gone in and out a couple times. And, you know, with this last time out, like, I've had worse physical bottoms drinking. But the emotional bottom that I hit this last time was the greatest that I've ever felt, right? So, I came back into this program 4 months ago, you know? And I remember before I came back in, like sitting in this hotel room, you know, I had told myself that I could control my drinking, this and that, yada, yada, yada. And like a month down the road, I'm locked up in a hotel room, not showing up to work, not answering my phone, and just like detoxing, you know, and I was just going through the motions again. And I knew it was not going to be good. And I knew like it was either keep going on to the bitter end or like accept a spiritual way of life. And like, mean it this time, you know? And I said a prayer to God. And I said, "God, if you allow me to like get back into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I swear to you, like I will do it right this time, you know? Like I will abandon myself to you, you know? Like you will be number one. Meetings will be number one." And I fucking stopped drinking in that hotel room, you know? It took me a few days to like detox, but I made it to an AA meeting, you know? The North Phoenix Men's Stag. It's an awesome meeting. There's like 200 guys that go every week. I picked up a sponsor. Elijah's my sponsor. And he was up there and he spoke. And it just, a lot of things really hit home, you know. And we got into the book, you know. And I got through my steps quickly but thoroughly, you know. I was really honest. And, you know, I think I got through my steps in like 6 weeks, something like that. It was fast. You know, and I was out looking for guys to sponsor, you know, like it's important to me. You know, I have 4 months of sobriety and I'm sponsoring 5 guys, you know, like I brought one of them with me. I love this Jared, you know, like he's got a couple months of sobriety and he's along this journey with me. You know, I picked up a 4 month chip at my home group. You know, like on the 16th, and I had one of the guys that I was sponsoring call me, and he was like, "Hey, like I found this new guy that came into the halfway house today, and we sat down and did step one together, you know, and like he's gonna start calling me," and I was like, "Oh my God," you know, and that was the first time I had ever experienced like becoming a grand sponsor, you know, so I had someone looking to me for advice on how to sponsor people. You know? And I'm like, I'm 4 months sober and I'm a fucking grand sponsor today. Like, that's God working in my life. You know? Like, I don't know. It's not me. Like, let me just make that clear. You know? Like, me saying this stuff has nothing to do with me and my ego. It's about God. You know? Like, when I connect to God and I do this program, like, to the best of my ability, nothing but amazing things come to fruition in my life. You know? I don't know how much time I have, but I'll probably finish up pretty quick here. I was sitting down with another man in this program, another alcoholic, like last week, and we were kind of flipping through the big book and talking about some stuff. And he was just telling me, like, experiences that he's had with sponsoring guys, you know, and like how important it is. And he was at a sponsee's house, sitting in their kitchen, going over step work, you know, and his sponsee, like, had a little girl. She was like 3 or 4 years old, and she was sitting there in the living room, like, watching TV, watching cartoons, and they're going over step work, and all of a sudden she, like, pops up, you know, and boop, 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 like, one's in the other room, and they can hear her, like, clanking around, banging, moving stuff around, you know. And then she comes into the kitchen where they're sitting, you know, and this guy that I was talking to, she like had this little star, you know, and she gave the star to the guy, you know, and she's like, here, this is for you. I just want to thank you for helping my daddy stay sober, you know? And her dad, you know, this guy's sponsee, like, started crying, and she like turned to walk away, and then she stopped and turned around again, and she was like, and the angels say thank you too, you know? And he was like, what'd you say? And she's like, yeah, the angels. There's one up there and there's one over there. There's angels everywhere. They're all around you. And then she just like turned back around and went back and started watching her cartoons again, you know, like nothing had happened. And he said that he and his sponsee just sat there like in tears, you know? And it's shit like that that really makes this journey worth it for me. You know, that like authentic connection to God and a loving higher power of my own understanding, and like showing other men that don't know this way of life how I connected to that. You know what I mean? Like, it's the most authentic and important thing that I could do with my time. So I just try to stay available to that, you know? If someone needs help, if someone needs advice, if someone just wants to sit down and talk, or somebody wants me to take them through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I always say yes. I don't give a shit how busy I am. All that stuff goes away if I'm not willing to continually try to help other men find God, you know, a higher power. And I've proven that to myself. If I don't do these things, I fail. I fall short every time and I relapse, you know? So God, the big book, and sponsorship has to be my foundation. It's got to be the centerpiece of my life. That's all I got.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kayla. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
My sobriety date is September 30th, 2012. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, so on and so forth. I also have a home group with a service commitment in that home group. I'm going to open with something on page 14. It says, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead. That was not my experience when I first came in. I did not want to help somebody else. I didn't want that responsibility. I didn't want somebody else's lives on my hands. Period. Like, I thought this was all about me. I thought this was about me quitting drinking, not about helping other people. And why was I in for a rude awakening? I remember I had gotten through my steps, and I was at this particular young people's meeting. It was a Sunday night. And my sponsor at the time, she kept repeating over and over and over, well, you need to start raising your hand for sponsoring. And I was like, how about not? I don't really want to do this. Like, I'm willing to stay sober for me, but I don't really want to give away what was given. But that just goes to show, like, how selfish I was. And I can still be that selfish. But at this meeting, there was one woman that had walked up to her after the meeting and asked her if she could sponsor her. And at that time, she couldn't take on any more sponsees. So she looked at me and she goes, oh, I guess God works in mysterious ways. She can sponsor, and points at me. And so that's how I acquired my first sponsee. But throughout this entire time of me going through my steps, that same sponsor kept telling me that I help her more than she helps me. I never understood that concept. I was like, well, you're taking me through the steps, like you're helping me stay sober. Like I never grasped the opposite side of it, that work with another alcoholic, that's really what the key is. Well, not the main key, there's a lot of keys, but like that's one of them. And there's another page in the book that says extensive work with another alcoholic will save the day. And I was already going to use it. And more often than not has that proven to be true. I will be going through something and be in self-pity or resentment or whatever. And sure enough, a sponsee will get a hold of me. Or somebody will get a hold of me and we'll be able to work through whatever situation that is occurring. With this particular first sponsee, since that is what the topic is, I was terrified. I didn't want to do it, but I figured I had this obligation at this point. I was so scared that I didn't even know how to introduce myself. It was one of those things that I had picked up on these things that other sponsors had shared in meetings as far as, oh, call me for the next 30 days. We're going to start you on your life story, you know, so on and so forth, like the basic stuff. And it's like I understood that I was supposed to take her through the steps as I was taken through the steps with no bullshit. I could not be a sponsor that did not share my own experience. And that was one of those fundamentals that really helped that relating aspect. If there was something I did not know, I wasn't going to say, well, I wasn't going to pull something out of my ass and tell you, oh, well, this is how it's done. I can't do that. Especially if I'm supposed to be honest. I obviously would not be working a good program if I did that. So more often than not, I called my sponsor with these situations that I didn't know how to answer. I didn't know where to reference in the book. I didn't know what suggestions to give. And a lot of that was because of that fear. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. I didn't want to be the reason that this woman went back out. And that's kind of this twisted way of thinking for me of I'm powerful enough to make somebody go back out. There was this phrase that I had heard of, if somebody wants to stay sober, there is nothing a sponsor can say that is wrong. But if they don't want to stay sober, there's nothing that they can say that is right. And my sponsor at the time had to reiterate that to me numerous times. Because I'm not that powerful. I can only give what I've been given and what I've been taught. We ended up going through the majority of the steps. I think we had gotten to step 9, and like along the way, I'm being a first-time sponsor at this point. I had these expectations of, well, I did it this way. Why can't you do the work this thoroughly? And again, it's that I have this expectation that everybody's going to want this. Everybody's going to do the work as thoroughly as I did, or as I could at least, when I first came in. And so we ended up getting to her 9th step, and she started making amends. And as it was shared previously, less and less work was starting to be done. The calls became less frequent. Didn't see each other as often. And eventually stopped hearing from her, period. I don't know how she's doing to this day. And that was one of the fears. That was kind of like one of the reservations that I had being a sponsor for the first time, is if I can't help somebody stay sober, then what am I good for? And I had to be reminded that helped me more than it helped her, again. And I finally got it. I understood what my sponsor meant by I helped her more than she helped me. Because every call, every situation that would come up, it would almost be like an aha moment for me of, oh yeah, or a humility check or something. And it's a really good reminder that I lost my train of thought. Anyway, I eventually, like, longer down the road, I ended up seeing this woman. I have not seen her at a meeting. I have not heard from her as a sponsee in a couple years now. And which is unfortunate. But at the same time, I can do what I can do. And that's as much as I can do. What has been given to me is as much as I can offer. And I can't force this on anybody. I can't force somebody to stay sober. Although I'd like to on numerous occasions, that's just not feasible. It can't happen. Like, I can't do the work for somebody. And that was a hard realization to come to. That I can't do this for somebody. I can't be their shoulder to lean on 100% of the time. Like, they actually have to do some of the work. My sponsoring has definitely changed as I've sponsored more women. And I would say it's at least a little bit more efficient than when I first started out. But it was a very good learning curve for when I first got sober. But I do have to say that I am truly grateful for it. And it's an amazing experience. Just like that light bulb was mentioned before. It's amazing to see that light bulb go off in certain situations, and those aha moments and those God shots happen for somebody else. Like, typically I can see them when they're happening for me, but when they happen for somebody else, it's like, yes, you're gonna get it. And I've also learned that people tend to surprise me. And so, I don't know. I think that's all I have, guys.
Thanks.
I'm Elizabeth. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Elizabeth.
I love how more of you came in right towards the end. My sobriety date is August 27, 2008, so I just celebrated 7 years on Thursday. I have a sponsor. She's sitting right there. She's the wiser one of the bunch. I have a grand sponsor. I have a home group. I have service commitments. Just like both of them, I did not want a sponsor. I did not want, you know, step 12 says having had a spiritual awakening, you know, you carry this message on to other alcoholics. I believe that once you get to step 12, you can be of service and help other alcoholics. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to sponsor them. I think that once you have experience with certain things in Alcoholics Anonymous, you're able to carry your experience and share, you know, what you went through with other people and help them. I did that my entire time during, you know, my first year sober, where I wasn't sponsoring anyone. I was able to help other people and they were able to help me. And that's kind of the core aspect of what I believe AA to be, is when it says it always refers to us as we. It never refers to us as I, because this is a disease where we have to use other people in order to help us. You know, my first experience sponsoring was actually at my job. I worked at a treatment center in Wickenburg, and part of working there was you had to sponsor clients. My first sponsor was at that treatment center, and she was my staff member as well as my sponsor. And so when I got out of that treatment center, I came to realize that sponsoring in AA is a little bit different than sponsoring when you're in a treatment center. And I didn't realize, you know, what differences came about. You know, I've had two amazing sponsors, and I basically have taken what both of them have given and combined it into this beautiful thing that I call How Elizabeth Sponsors, and pass it on down. You know, and I've sponsored a lot of women, and probably 90 to 95% of them have not stayed sober. I've had a few that have stayed sober, and I've had a few that have been willing to do the work and to show up, for their sobriety, because ultimately I have no control on someone else. If they don't want to be sober and they don't want to do the work, A, I'm not powerful enough to be sober, and who am I to say that I have an ego to be like, oh, well, I can control your life and you're going to do all this work and be sober and this is, you know, what I created. When in reality, my sponsor didn't do that for me. My sponsor was a leader. She was a spiritual guide that helped me through the steps, but she did not control what I did, and she was not capable of helping me. She did not say, here's what I want your spiritual life to look like. You're going to do X, Y, and Z, and once you do that, you're going to have what I have. Because everyone's experience in sobriety is different. Everyone's experience with every step is different. I cannot tell someone or control them and make them do exactly what I did, because ultimately we're all human, and ultimately we make our own choices. You know, I believe a relationship with your sponsor is one of the most sacred relationships you'll ever have. When I sit down with women, the first thing I say to them is, I'm going to tell you about myself. If you think that I'd be a good person and you want to work with me, let's do it. And if there's any time while I'm sponsoring you that it's not working for you, then I want you to do what's best for you. Because I'm not here to be riding around and having a bunch of little people following me, being like, putting me on a pedestal and being like, I want you to be, I'm human. I am not God. I am not a higher, like, I'm not your higher power. I am not perfect. And I want people to do what they want to do for their recovery. And through that, I mean, that's how I sponsor. I'm going to give you advice. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you that I fucked up a lot. You know, like, I ran away from halfway houses, I ran away from my treatment centers, I've been arrested, I've made stupid decisions, I've been fired from jobs, I've harmed people. I'm human, yet I still show up and I'm capable of doing the work. And it's not like I want it, you know, I do not wake up and go, oh, I'm gonna go make amends today, like that's really what I feel like doing. But I do it because for this amount of time, this is what has worked for me to be sober. You know, the first girl I sponsored, I'm actually sharing a room with her here. I'm friends with her now. I sponsored her like over 3 years ago. And when I was about between 2 and 3 years sober, that's when I was sponsoring her. I was in a really, really depressed state. I wanted to kill myself. Like, I remember waking up being like, I got sober to have a good life. You know, why am I this unhappy? Like, what's the point of being sober and feeling the exact same way I felt when I was using and drinking? Like, why am I feeling this way? And the only reason I showed up really for life and for work was for her, because I literally did not have any other, like, anything else that I could show up for. And I showed up for her, and I showed up for her knowing that, you know, I felt this, you know, I felt this way. I was depressed. I didn't know what to do. And ultimately, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on, and I remember going to my sponsor and being like, I'm unhappy and I need help. And she's like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, and I did it. But, you know, I remember sitting at my friend's house and being like, that 9 months that I worked at this treatment center, I was like, I don't even know why I worked there. It was a horrible, horrible time in my life. I was very, very depressed. And I remember her looking at me and she was like, the reason your higher power wanted you to work there was because your higher power put 1D in your life. Sorry, I didn't mean to say her name, but that's why. And, you know, and I don't look at her and be like, okay, well, because she's been sober and she's done this, like, that's all on me. No, I don't look at it. I look at it as, like, my higher power put this girl in my life, and by me sponsoring her, I was able to help myself, and that's what kept me from taking a drink. When it says in the big book, you know, I think she said the quote, whatever, the quote is basically, Working with other alcoholics when all else fails is the number one thing that's going to get me out of myself. Because ultimately, alcoholism is a selfish and a self-centered disease. Ultimately, I only care about myself. You know, you're sitting in rooms and you're worrying about having anxiety. Like, I have horrible anxiety about being here, you know. And I'm like, all these people are thinking, they're not, no, none of you. Well, maybe you guys are now because you're looking at me. But, like, most people aren't thinking about me, you know, because I'm an alcoholic. I think about myself. And that's the one place where me sitting down with someone, I'm able to 100% completely get out of myself. And I'm able to show up for someone. And everything that I've been taught and everything that the women have taught me before, I'm able to give back to someone, you know. And something I want to say, I know that there will be times in my life where I am not in a position to be able to sponsor. I have seen people go through things where they are not capable of showing up for other people. And that is a very important lesson, because if I'm not taking care of myself, I have nothing to give you. If I am not in a place to take care of myself, I'm basically giving you shit, you know, and I need to remember that ultimately I need to put my recovery first. I need to put my relationship with my higher power first. I need to work the steps on a continuous basis in order to maintain the lifestyle I have. And part of that is sponsoring, you know, and part of that is helping other alcoholics, and part of that is being of service. You know, a big part of it is maintaining a spiritual life. You know, and I think for everyone, you know, I can only speak about myself. I think that sponsoring is a beautiful gift. And I also think that it can make you go insane, you know? Like, I'll be honest, it makes you go insane. But ultimately, I'm giving away something that I was given freely. You know, I mean, I guess technically my first sponsor was paid to sit down with me, but my sponsor now is not paid to sit down with me. You know, like, well, your sponsors, you know, I'm not, they're getting, you know, a spiritual connection, a spiritual relationship, but they're not getting any monetary value from sitting down. And, you know, when I am giving away my time, it's like I'm willing to show up for someone. And, you know, the things I always say to them is, like, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to love you through it. I'm here to take you through the steps and help you with your experience. And hopefully, you know, you're going to get something out of it. And honestly, if you don't get anything out of it, I know I'm going to get something out of it. And me sitting down with you is going to help me stay sober for today. And hopefully you sitting down with me will help you stay sober for today. So with that, I'll pass.